Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dave Accelerators Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call. I have with me Mr. Parth Shah, Chairman and Whole-time Director, Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, Mr. Rishit Shah, Whole-time Director, Mr. Pareen Shah, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parthiv Panchal, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anjan Trivedi, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Mr. Yash Shah, Non-Executive, Non-Independent Director. Before we proceed, I would like to bring to your attention that certain statements made during this discussion may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, assumptions, and beliefs regarding future development and are inherently subject to various risks, uncertainties, and factors beyond our control. Such forward-looking statements involve both known and unknown risks, and we advise you to interpret them with caution. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Moderator. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to Dave Accelerators Limited's earnings conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2025. I trust all of you had an opportunity to review the results that we have shared on our website and also on the stock exchanges, and along with it, we have also shared investor presentations and the media releases. I'll start by sharing a quick brief as to what we do as an organization. Dave Accelerators Limited, which we brand as DAVEX, is an enterprise-focused, full-solution managed workspace platform. What we essentially do is design, build, and provide custom-built offices, which covers end-to-end site selection, bespoke fit-outs, technology integration, payroll management, and facility management, all under a single service-level agreement. So technically, a client gives or issues a single check to us for seeking all the services which I mentioned above. We started this company back in 2017 with a clear conviction that India's Tier 2 cities would become the frontier for future commercial real estate consumption. Back then, when we were starting, not only in the country but even in Ahmedabad, the city where we started from, the closest competition that we had was a 50-seater service provider, and we started with 700 seats being offered to the city. And that's when the belief became stronger. Instead of Bangalore, Mumbai, and Delhi, we started to build our foundation in Ahmedabad, Baroda, Jaipur, Rajkot, Udaipur, and a few other emerging cities which we believe would pave the way for next growth of the country. 7 years later, the budget which has been announced yesterday showcased the conviction that the next growth opportunity would come in from the Tier 2 cities, and this transition is not just by numbers. It is a structural reform that's happening in the country as well as in the industry. Today, DAVEX operates 28 centers across 12 cities, managing almost 9 lakh sq ft of area with 13,500 seats, operating at an 88% occupancy level, which is being consumed by more than 300 clients. And astonishingly, which is not the truth of the industry, 95% of our seats or inventory is sourced directly. What makes us fundamentally different from other flex operators is our core focus on Tier 2 strategy. 75% of our revenue today comes from Tier 2 cities. Just to define a few of the Tier 2 cities, is cities like Ahmedabad, Baroda, Jaipur, Gandhinagar, Surat, Indore, Rajkot, and Udaipur. The remaining 25% of our revenue comes from Tier 1 cities like Pune, Hyderabad, Noida, and Mumbai, wherein we expand categorically with a back-to-back demand coming in from clients. This shift or focus in tier two cities is not merely by accident. It is a deliberate strategy to focus on these growth corridors. We understand these markets extremely deeply, and the land is non-institutional in nature, very difficult to deal with, is where we understand the pulse. We also understand the talent pools here because that is the critical aspect for our clients. The enterprise demand patterns basis the growth of office spaces which are being built, basis the availability of talent pools. All of this, supported with regulatory environment, is where we understand in and out of it. This ultimately results into superior unit economics because our rent-to-revenue ratio in tier two cities stands at 2.62x, while in tier one cities, it is 2.1x. This showcases that our strategy is impacting on ground and is not just a mere love towards tier two cities, but it translates into positive numbers as well. What our rent-to-revenue ratio means is that every rupee we pay in rent, we generate 2.62 rupees of revenue. This premium is being achieved because we are able to negotiate better in terms of rental price points with landlords, which is being achieved because of the track record that we have been able to operate in these cities. Largely, the competition here is fragmented. That is the primary reason why we are able to achieve a better rent-to-revenue ratio here. The client stickiness is also very high in these markets, as 65% of our revenue comes from enterprise clients. The clients whom we have offered a build-to-suit solution, the average client lock-in, which is still left off with us, is 3.5 years. The retention ratio is staggering 98% for us. The net churn rate, which essentially means that we add more number of seats from our existing client than we are losing, is -0.6%. The clients that are there with us beyond 300 seats have an average lock-in of 37 months, which would showcase a very strong cash flow for us in the coming months. 1/3 of our clients are multi-city clients, meaning they would be with us not only in one city or one center, they would be with us in beyond one city or beyond one center. They have been growing with us across the country and across the centers, and we scale along with them. As I mentioned earlier, we are not just a workspace provider. We are a full-stack enterprise infrastructure partner. Through our integrated platform, we offer complete end-to-end managed office space solution, which is the core revenue or the cash cow for us. We have our design and build services, which we offer it through our subsidiary, wherein external clients take our services of designing and building the entire office space. We provide end-to-end facility management services as well. Through another subsidiary of CashJoy Solutions, we offer technology solutions as well. Under the same umbrella, we provide recruitment as well as payroll services. This makes us a complete full-stack solution provider for global capability centers. GCCs are now an emerging consumer of IT real estate sector in India. Office space largely is consumed by global capability centers. We are building, from a resource pool perspective, from a technology stack perspective, a complete platform where we can offer them end-to-end solutions. This is largely done to capture more wallet share from our existing client. Just to cite you an example, QX Global, which started with us as the first client back in 2018 with a 500-seater space, is still operating and working with us. We are the only preferred partner for that customer and operates with us in more than five cities. That is the strength of relationships that we've been able to build. Now, let me walk you through some of the financial performance which we've been able to demonstrate because of this model. I'll share the consolidated numbers first. Our revenue from operations for the quarter three FY26 stood at 59.2 crores on a comparable basis, that is 19% year-on-year. For the nine-month FY26, we achieved 166.7 crores as revenue, which is a 53% year-on-year growth. Just to help the people that are listening, last complete year, we did 158 crores of revenue. We have achieved 166.7 crores of revenue. Our EBITDA for 9 month FY26 stood at 77.6 crores. There is an EBITDA margin of 46.1%. This again reflects the operating leverage as our mature centers are able to deliver higher utilization. Our PBT for 9 month FY26 grew 173%. And it is, we have been able to achieve 5.2 crores as our PBT. And we have been consistently delivering positivity since past 2 years at the PBT level. On a standalone basis, the numbers are much more stronger as our revenue grew 50% year-on-year, ending 124 crores in 9 months FY26. Our EBITDA margin increased to the highest level in the industry, which is 61%, up from 57.5% in the same period last year. Our cash EBIT for 9 month FY26 is 26.42 crores. I'll throw some light on our subsidiary, one of our design and build subsidiaries, which is the core strength of delivering projects faster and efficiently. We delivered 38.8 crores of revenue in 9 month FY26 with 16.8% of EBITDA margin. Overall, we delivered 19 plus projects across 7 lakh square feet of area, with an average project size being 5,000 square feet and an average project value being 1.25 crores. Our rent to revenue ratio has increased from 1.86 in the preceding same period of 9 months FY25, and we have achieved 2.62x of rent to revenue ratio. This showcases our operational efficiency in tier 2 markets. As I share the numbers, I'll give a quick glimpse of the entire industry as to why we are very bullish on this. The Indian flexible office space market is going through a paradigm shift. It is currently valued at $6 billion today, and it is expected to reach $11.4 billion by 2030. That is a growth of 14% on a CAGR basis. But the compelling story is the shift which is happening in this market. According to the recent industry research, managed workspaces, the category in which we operate, has grown at 47% CAGR since 2018. Which is outpacing the co-working, which is growing at 16% year-on-year. GCCs, as I touched upon earlier, are the single biggest demand driver for flexible office space providers. They contribute anywhere between 60 to 65% of the seat absorption annually. India today has 1,850 GCCs, which is up from 1,285 GCCs in FY19. With approximately 100 to 115 GCCs being added upon every year. By 2030, the country expects that we will be serving 2,200 GCCs and the employee count would be doubling and reaching to 2.8 million. Now, this research was being conducted earlier with the advent of Safe Harbor being announced in yesterday's budget. I am certain that this number is going to grow exponentially. The GCC revenue has achieved a number of $105 billion. Today, GCC consumes approximately 34% of the India's grade A office market. GCCs kind of prefer managed office spaces because we are able to provide them long lease tenures with customized solutions. They have a lower churn risk and they expect enterprise grade A infrastructure. All of that being served by head office space providers. They are not looking for hot desks. They do not want dedicated different spaces. They are looking at branded spaces that can scale along with their growth. And importantly, GCCs are now looking beyond metros to tap the talent pool. Today we have 16% in India than the national flexible average. Hiring in tier 2 cities is also growing 21% year-on-year. Hence, recent times we met, a lot of GCCs have started coming into tier 2 cities. They have grown from 5% in FY19 to 20% in FY25. And there are structural shifts which are happening, largely because the talent arbitrage is high, the cost arbitrage is extremely high. Today, Tier 2 cities offer 20 to 35% cost advantage over metros. In terms of digitally skilled availability of professionals, Tier 2 cities has 800,000 people available. And we have been witnessing as a country, the budget, the national focus has also been into filling the infrastructure gap in Tier 2 cities. Missions like smart cities, PM Gati Shakti, metros being set up, and most importantly, the connectivity between Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities has reduced the infrastructure gap and enforced the global employers to come to Tier 2 cities. This is precisely the way we have been waiting and building for since 2017. This quarter, we have taken a decisive step to cement our leadership in this. I'll share one of the largest deals that we have signed this quarter. We have signed an 8 lakh square feet of single managed office space contract in Ahmedabad, which is on Amli Bhopal Road. There's the same micro market wherein we have our current standing of 3.5 lakh square feet. This is extremely large, not only from a Tier 2 city standard, but across the country, this would be one of the single largest flex office space transactions that we have done. I'll just share a few of the limelights of the deal. It's 8,10,000 square feet to be very precise. It will have 8,500 seats. We are committing an investment of 100 crores across 4 years. And occupancy of 85%, it will start generating a revenue of 120 crores. Now this deal is extremely significant for us because it falls under our development management model. It is a re-engineered model for the first time that's being done in the flexible office space industry. We ourselves are putting in the shoes of landowners which are non-institutional in nature. Since we understand the quality of assets that are preferred by GCCs, we are partnering with landowners, offering them our expertise and skill set, building their products or assets with our processes, and helping them to build a grade A plus asset, which would be leased by us, and then offered as a complete solution to Global Capability Center. These are purpose-built buildings, largely for Global Capability Center, which would be operationally extremely effective. And we now onwards intend to scale this up rapidly by partnering with landowners across the country, by focusing more in Tier 2 cities, wherein the land ownership is segmented, land owners are non-institutional in nature, but are aspired to have enterprise demand. And that is where we would play a role. We would institutionalize that supply, we would bring in our expertise, and focus on bringing global capability centers, set up their offices by offering them payroll, recruitment and infrastructure under a single umbrella. An update on the asset that we had on Amli Bhopal Road, which was one of our largest in an operational stock. That 3.15 lakh square feet asset, which is one of the largest in Tier 2 cities, will start operations from this quarter, which is JSM quarter. We have already achieved 95% pre-leasing, even before going operational. This is technically not heard of, because this size typically takes anywhere between 9 to 12 months to reach a 95% occupancy. We have got 95%, we have achieved 95% occupancy even before going operational. This would add roughly 4,000 seats in the inventory, and from a revenue standpoint, it would add 2.75 crores to 3 crores on a month-on-month basis, in the operational revenue that we'll be achieving. And the margins will be operationally positive in this center from day one. Few of the marquee clients that we have onboarded here is Manubhai and Shah, which is a 5-decade-old CA firm based out of headquartered in Ahmedabad. They are with us in more than 5 cities across the country. They are consolidating their entire inventory, which was not with us in Ahmedabad, and shifting their headquarters with us and they have taken 100,000 square feet of area. Another client is Walter P. Moore, a globally recognized design and structural consulting firm. They have taken almost a full floor there, which translates into 10,000 square feet of area. Then OpenXL, Satvik Digital Analytics, there are a few of the other clients, marquee ones, which have signed up with us. This campus is located on Amli Bhopal Road, wherein the additional 8 lakh square feet has been signed by us. And we are establishing this corridor as a flagship for GCC destination in tier 2 cities in Western India. I'll share my closing remarks now after the updates. We are India's leading managed office space platform in tier 2 cities. We have built a deep moat in landlord relationship, in bringing client stickiness, and built our operational efficiency. We have understood the unique dynamics that are required in this market. The landmark deal of 8 lakh square feet is not just a transaction for us, but it is a playbook or a template which we will be replicating in other traditional real estate markets in other tier 2 cities. And bringing in innovative solutions by a flexible operator across the country. Our vision is clear: to become the preferred destination and the preferred infrastructure partner for GCCs in tier 2 cities. Again, sharing the quick understanding, we are there across 28 centers in 12 cities, a strong balance sheet and an integrated platform offering build-to-suit workspaces, design and build along with allied services. This is a proven playbook that we have showcased as a testimony, which we are going to replicate for our future expansion in tier 2 cities. We strongly remain confident of delivering sustained growth and long-term value for our shareholders. Thank you everyone for your continued support. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Samit with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So since I'm new to your business, I just wanted to, you know, understand a few things in depth. So what is your sourcing strategy? So is it like you take entire buildings from, since you mentioned non-institutional landlords, or you just have a typical 25 to 15,000 square feet center size in some of the properties sourced by the non-institutional landlord? That is first. And what would your top 10 client contribute to your revenues? And I just wanted to know, in your, for your DSB division, what kind of order visibility you have in hand? And lastly, on the new managed office deal which you have signed in Ahmedabad for 8 lakh 15,000 square feet. So I wanted to know, what is the average seat size per average seat size in that center?
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for interesting questions. I'll start with the first one, which is our sourcing strategy. So we have two approaches here. First is the city where we are not present. There we'll set up anywhere between 25,000 to 40,000 square feet of area. We take up 25 to 40,000 square feet because we our focus is to kind of set up a presence there. Now the dynamics in a newer city works differently, and there are multiple stakeholders there. Our objective is to become a hyper local player there. So we would understand who our supplier is in terms of who our vendors are. Basically understanding where we would bring in the furniture and fit outs. That's first understanding that we want to build in an ecosystem. Second, I want to understand the dynamics of where and which micro market is evolving and where it is heading towards. So that's the second understanding that I would build. And third, I would want to build a strong pipeline of clients who are looking to take up future inventory or future seats, or who can be my probable customers. So we would always start small in a newer city that is taking up 25 to 40,000 square feet of area. 2 years later, or probably 1.5 years later, older in that ecosystem, in that city, once these metrics are established, we would start taking up larger inventory. Now that inventory would be upcoming in nature. That is, we would sign up an asset, let's say 1.5 years later, but the delivery of that asset would be a year down the line. So that gives us some time frame to market ourselves. And by that time, we would have some of the other clients who would have committed us bigger inventory for that future supply that is coming up with us. So that is our modus operandi. We would take up 25 to 40,000 square feet of area in a new city. Once we are established, we would take up anywhere between 2 lakh to 3 lakh square feet in an older city. So that's the first answer on the sourcing strategy. The top 10 clients, the question that you asked, the second one, contributes today roughly 40% of our entire revenue. With respect to our design and build contribution, what we have done essentially is we have built in lot of processes since last 3 years. And annualized, if I see, since last 3 years, we have been growing 100% year on year. So back in 2022, we did 12.5 crores of revenue. Then we were able to achieve 32 crores of revenue. This year, we are on the verge of achieving almost 50 crores of revenue by this time frame. And December, we have closed 38 crores of revenue. The average seat size, so I think I'll just touch upon a little bit more on the design and build piece, because more than contributing revenue, it also adds a lot of value in terms of the resources that we bring in. Just to give you a context on this, if I was a standalone company like DevX, when we do not have this capability of design and build, I would not have the physical flexibility to hire senior resources in this. Today, we have a team of 100 people comprising of project leads with 12 to 15 years of experience. Now, I'm able to bear that cost because I'm sharing that cost along with the clients that I'm bringing in on a standalone basis. So, if I see from a lens of DevX, we get the value of quality resources while the cost is not completely borne by us. And that is being shared with the clients that are kind of coming on board. With this resources being added, we are able to kind of reduce down our procurement costs. We are able to make our processes more stringent and effectively achieving an output of delivering offices on a timely basis. That is the ultimate outcome. The focusing on the last question of 8 lakh square feet, to be very honest, that deal is very closer to our heart. We have been kind of negotiating on that deal since last one quarter. It gives us a landmark position not only in the city but in the entire country because of the sheer size of the supply that we have taken up. The average desk size that we have witnessed within GCCs is anywhere between 60 to 65 per square feet. We are expecting roughly around 8,500 seats being consumed in that asset. On top of that, the reality of the market is
product for sorry to interrupt, Umesh sir, could you please repeat again? Hello.
From where did I live?
So few sentences back.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Right. So I was saying about the 8 lakh square foot deal. We have been kind of negotiating and working on the numbers since last one quarter. And on a per seat size basis, we have experienced anywhere between 60 to 65 per square feet is the consumption pattern by GCCs. With this 8 lakh square feet, we are looking at 8,500 seats of inventory coming here. And all the common amenities that we typically plan in the asset consume a lot of spaces and reduces the effectiveness of the layout for us. Here, we would be redesigning and keeping a lot of common inventories, common features, like we'll put a game zone, we'll have a box cricket, we'll have a salon, we'll have a daycare facility, all incorporated in the design of the building. That ultimately increases the efficiency of the layout that we can offer to our clients. And in turn, obviously, increasing the revenue for us. I hope I was able to answer the question.
And what kind of escalations in terms of rentals are you witnessing currently? From both the landlord and tenant side? Yeah.
Yeah. So, on the supply side, our escalations are anywhere between 4% to 5% on an annualized basis. But I'll contextually help you understand this. Our rent-to-revenue ratio is 2.62. So let's take an example. Our rentals are 40 rupees. And our revenue that I'm generating from the client is 110 rupees. So my escalation comes on 40 rupees of rental, which is anywhere between 4% to 5%. While on the client side, my escalations are on 110 rupees, which is 5% to 6%.
Okay.
On a year-on-year basis.
Got it. Thanks. If there are more questions, I'll come back in the queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Hussain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible to you, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you, sir.
Yeah, so my first question is, like, what progress has been made on the center currently under the fit-out during the quarter? And when are they expected to become operational, sir?
I'm assuming you're referring to this 3.15 lakh square feet asset.
Yes.
So we received the occupancy certificate or building user permission in the month of December. That is the 27th December is when we received the occupancy certificate. So technically that is when we started full-fledged pickups. We are expected to deliver the project in the next 15 to 20 days of time frame, giving us a full-fledged revenue towards the end of February and the first week of March.
Okay. And my second question is, what is the current occupancy level, sir? And how does it compare to the previous quarter and last year? And what is your outlook for the occupancy in the coming quarter, sir, in the last quarter?
So occupancy has always been north of 85% historically as well. The reason why occupancy levels are higher in our case is because we are focusing being an enterprise or a managed office space provider. So we largely would have a customer on hand before we sign up a new supply. This quarter we have been able to achieve 88.4% of occupancy number. But historically also the numbers have been north of 85% largely as the enterprise clients would be.
Okay.
I think my CFO as well to kind of add a point on that.
So basically the occupancy for the good part about our business is like our out of 8.83 million square foot, our 70% centers are 100% occupied. So basically the occupancy is 88.4%. But we consider at the center level profitability and center level occupancy, out of 0.82 million square foot, 0.58 is my, all the available areas are occupied 100%. So that consider we as a mature center. So this is the good metrics you can evaluate.
Okay. And I have one more question, like how quickly do a new center, particularly GCC-led projects, become the ROC attraction? And what is the typical timeline to reach steady state return?
So I'll break this into two parts. Let's say a center is of a size of less than 50,000 square feet of area. So that's a traditional deal wherein the landlord would give us the space. We would invest in the fit outs.
and deliver a customized office to our enterprise client. There, our ROC is 36 months.
Okay.
But in larger centers, but in the centers like 3.15 lakh square feet center, there we are forecasting our ROCB to be around 27 months. And there are logical reasons to that. One of the biggest driver to achieve that outcome is the rent-free period that we are able to achieve in larger assets. So typically a rent-free period in a smaller asset is anywhere between 3 months to 4 months. While in larger assets, we are able to achieve 8 months to 12 months of rent-free period. That is one primary driver. Second, we are able to bring in common areas from a percentage basis to an extremely low level. So let's say if a 40,000 square feet area is being built, the common areas that I have to incorporate ranges between 22% to 25%, which includes my lounge, my meeting rooms, my conference rooms, my game area, my cafeteria. Now that percentage in a bigger area like 3.5 lakh square feet of building drops to 16%. So technically it's giving us a saving of 5-6%, which increases the revenue for us.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Okay. And all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you so much.
Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Rohit Mehra with SK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is related to the tier 2 cities. During the opening remarks, you mentioned tier 2 cities will be our target audience, henceforth, like cities like Indore and Udaipur, Jaipur. So what is the strategic rationale for continuous focus on tier 2 cities and how you can address the opportunity there?
Sure, sir. We are of belief that tier 2 cities would take the next wave of growth. As a country, if you have to grow from $4 trillion economy to $12 trillion economy, the contribution from tier 2 cities like Ahmedabad, Jaipur, Indore, Baroda, Chandigarh would be way higher as compared to tier 1 cities. And that is significantly showcased by the policies as a country that we are putting across. The infrastructure push, in fact, is also been higher in tier 2 cities. And on ground, what we have been witnessing since last 7 years is the fact that the talent pool available in these cities is much more loyal, stays with you for a longer duration. The cost arbitrage of the talent is also higher here. So let's say a React developer resource that is available in Bangalore, vis-a-vis a React developer available cost of that resource in Baroda, is at least 25-30% lower. And that gives an advantage for the last mile employer to consider tier 2 cities as a market to expand in. That's first reason. Second is cost arbitrage. The real estate cost is also significantly lower. A city like Mumbai, where we also have our center, we have taken up a place at 120 rupees per square foot. While a city like Jaipur is being taken up at 60 to 65 rupees per square foot. So that's the arbitrage that end employers are able to see and witness, and hence the transition or shift to tier 2 cities is happening faster.
Got it. So, we will see the margin expansion due to the tier 2 city focus and all.
So we are currently also focusing on tier 2 cities. Our 70% of our revenue comes from tier 2 cities.
Yes. Okay. And how is the Ahmedabad mega campus and similar large DCC-led projects are funded?
How we are funding that is the question?
Yes, sir.
So currently under the development management model, we do not incur the cost of developing the asset. The capital investment from land to development is done by the landowner only. Our investment comes in paying security deposit and investing in the fit-outs. That is where our investment lies. In fact, for monitoring of the project, that has now become a revenue stream for us. Since we support bringing our expertise to build a grade A asset, that quality is now helping us to generate revenue from the landlords. Because we build in expertise to establish a grade A plus asset, so that knowledge, that understanding of global markets is what we bring across the table as our contribution to monitor that asset. So developed landowners would pay us a certain fee to overlook development of that asset, while our task would be to then invest in fit-outs, bring in GCCs, offer them a fully fledged solution, and then serve them across years.
Okay, so thank you for a very elaborate answer. That's it from my side. For any question, I will back in with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Virat Shah with Tatvik Digital Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is with regards to the four new centers that we are under the pipeline currently. So I wanted to know, like, when are we expecting these four new centers to get operational, and what EBITDA margins can we expect from these centers?
Sure. So one of the largest center in that is Capital One, which is 3.15 lakh square feet of area. We are expecting the revenues to start from end of February to early first couple of weeks of March. And as I mentioned, that asset would be generating a faster ROCE for us. At the center level, typically we operate at 30-35% margin. For the first few months, this center would be operating at 60-65% margin because of the rent availability there, and obviously because of the size scale that we have. And we have been able to kind of bring in operational area much more effectively. So the layout and the is kind of much more similar. That is one. Second center is in Pune. We have just got the position of that center. We will be starting the fit-outs now. We are expecting that center to go live in the month of April end or May first week. We already have 50% occupancy already achieved there, even before the fit-outs being started. So there we can expect anywhere between 35-40% of margins being achieved. And there's one more center in Ahmedabad, which is Million Minds. We have started the fit-outs there. We have reached to a stage when we are awaiting occupancy certificate from the developer. Once that is achieved, post that 25 days to 30 days, we'll be operational there. Again, we have a pre-committed demand there. So we are expecting the revenue to kickstart from April or May. We had signed that asset before time, so we have a good leverage on rentals. So there the margins would be 40-45%. And the asset would be GMDC asset. The development of that asset is currently ongoing. We are expecting to get the delivery of that asset in the month of September or October. And that asset from an operational perspective would be December, January 26th or January 27th.
Alright,
understood.
And the mega center that you mentioned in Mukalamli, so is it considered under signed pipeline or is it under fit out right now?
No, we have just signed that deal. It is a development management contract with the landowner. The entire building is yet to be developed. We have just onboarded India's one of the largest and the prominent architects to start the designing process there.
Alright, sir. And sir, the revenue guidance that you have provided for FY27 for 350 crores around. So can I expect these four centers that you mentioned, Pune, Million Mile and GMDC, along with the Capital One, to kind of contribute majorly towards that revenue?
Yeah. Yes. So the revenue forecast for 27 was done based on the same line with the current centers that we already planned and achieved. The supply on hand are the same ones that are going to be supporting us in achieving an outcome of 350 crores. It comprises of three revenue streams. One is our managed office space contribution. Second is our design and build unit. And third is our technology unit of SaaS-based solutions.
Understood, sir. And then one last bookkeeping question. So, in this quarter, other expenses have increased by more than 100% for the standalone business. So, any specific corporate expenses that has contributed to this increase, or is it one-off?
No, these are one-off expenses, one-time expenditures that they incurred post the IPO processing.
Okay, that was approved in this quarter. Okay. All right, sir. Thank you, sir, for taking up my question, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Aniket Redkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Very good afternoon. Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah. So, sir, I have
a
question. Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yeah. So, sir, in terms of our GCC, just wanted to understand, how did GCC demand evolve on a YoY basis? What basically the rationale behind this GCC across Tier 2 market?
Sure. Well, largely, I mean, if you understand India from a service standpoint, early 2000s, we were a BPO market for the globe, right? So we used to be the back office for the world. So people used to set up their BPOs, call centers, and that kind of helped them support their global growth. So from 2000s to 2010, if you see, we have been largely voice or chat support system for the globe. 2010 onwards, the country evolved and we started attracting knowledge process outsourcing units. So, a lot of accounting units, a lot of financial units, M&A units kind of were set up as back offices in the country. With the advent of education and the exposure that we as a country got, a lot of evolvement happened on the technology front. And the contribution at the global level from development perspective also increased. So 2017-18 onwards, we saw a lot of financial units setting up their back offices in India. And that is where it got unearthed that development can also be a strong backbone for them to set up in India. Rather than just voice, chat or accounts, it can also be that we can build products, we can do R&D here, and then support their global expansion. That is all when it started, and today when we see a lot of companies set up their development units, R&D units in India, roughly 18-15 GCCs are operating in the country. Why we are kind of pursuing them, primary reason is it is a full spectrum of solutions. It increases a single contribution of revenue from a client rather than providing just an infrastructure. We can be a partner for them in growth, which helps them understand how do they hire people, where do they hire people from, where is that talent coming from, what is the design of workspace that can inspire people to stay for longer duration. These are the sort of conversations that can become a partner for our clients and not just a vendor-client relationship. And that is the advent why we are focusing on GCC. And categorically, Tier 2 cities is the backbone or strength of ours. As I shared earlier, I'm a firm believer that the next wave of growth in the country is coming from Tier 2 cities. And it is inevitable from the policies that we are witnessing today. A lot of infrastructure investments are going in Tier 2 cities. And to attract talent, to reach out to the right mindset, and the infrastructure that is getting evolved, a lot of global companies you would see now coming to tier 2 cities with a greater push. They were already coming in, but it was not at the pace or speed which tier 1s were setting. Probably next couple of years is when we will witness a lot of global capability centers setting up their primary offices in tier 2 cities.
Okay, okay. And sir, one last question. What is the current, how much is the market opportunity for us and how much we already targeted?
Market opportunity from just a managed office space perspective or you're referring to GCC?
From GCC perspective.
So today GCC is I'll come down top to bottom, right? I mean, today from a flexible office space market, we are at a $5 billion contribution. This is bound to reach around $11 billion in terms of market size. Now, out of this, 60% is by GCC, right? So we can easily evaluate that it is $6 to $7 billion of revenue being contributed by GCC. Now, out of all of that, 21% is being contributed by the flexible office space.
Okay.
And within that, we hold 13% market share in tier 2 cities.
Okay. Okay.
That is the market size that we are probably looking to acquire.
Good, good, good. Thank you, sir. This is from my side and all the best for the future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just you spoke about the geographical spread out that we have and you touched upon the rationale behind tier 2 cities. If you could also just give some color on what kind of, which cities, if you are looking at it in that particular way, which cities are giving us relatively higher revenue and seat capacity and where the growth has come in from in terms of operational area, centers and seat capacity.
Sure. So we are currently, from a tier 2 standpoint, we are currently focused on Ahmedabad, Baroda, Rajkot, Surat, Gandhinagar, that's the Gujarat belt. Then we are focusing on Indore in MP, and in Rajasthan we are focusing on Jaipur and Udaipur. That is our current presence. We are intending to add few more tier 2 cities, which we are currently researching and analyzing as to what growth parameters can be done. I'll share the top level thoughts on that as well. Lucknow, Bhubaneswar, Coimbatore, and Kochi. There are four other cities that we are currently evaluating from taking up a exposure there, and we are speaking to few of our clients in understanding their growth metrics there. Personally, I see cities like Ahmedabad, Baroda, and Jaipur would be outliers for us and for the country as well, because that is where majority of the infrastructure investment has already been done. Some of the marquee events like Commonwealth Games, which has already been signed by Ahmedabad, would probably shape as to how the city would grow and evolve into. And with the advent of that being already being done, I think we participating more in that growth would only help us in scale up faster.
Got it. So as of now, do you look at it in terms of a bifurcation between revenue coming in from tier 2 versus tier 1?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it too early?
So I think we categorically want larger portion of our chunk coming to tier 2 cities. We are today, our revenue contribution is 70-30, and 70% comes from tier 2 cities and tier 1 contributes 30%. Going forward, also, our focus would be to continue with this share of revenues coming in from tier 2s and tier 1s.
Understood. I'll
tell you the logics behind this.
Yes, please go ahead.
I'll explain the logic behind this for the interest of everybody, since the questions are focusing more on tier 2 cities. See, in this sector, the entry barrier is not that high, right? There are a lot of lifestyle businesses as well opened up into this sector. What we are essentially doing is creating a virtual entry barrier in this tier 2 cities. Today, I can proudly say that I'm one of the largest operator in Ahmedabad. I'm the largest operator in Baroda. I'm the largest operator in Jaipur. Now, these statements are not mere statements. These are not just headlines for our marketing perspective. These are on-ground challenges that I'm throwing for my peers to enter in those cities. These are kind of virtual entry barriers for the external or the tier 1 players to enter into these cities.
Right. Fair enough. So that makes sense. So would you say that tier 1 cities have saturated in terms of competition with so many players being there?
So that is also one of the reasons why we kind of shying away from entering in a very big way in tier 1 cities. But having said that, we need to be mindful of the fact that today Bangalore, Delhi and Mumbai contribute largest consumption of real estate in India. We can't deny the reality on ground. Yes, it is saturated. Yes, it is moving to tier 2 cities, but still they contribute the largest in terms of consumption of real estate. Hence, we need to take a pie, something from there. And also, the decision makers are in these tier 1 cities. So our presence in front of them becomes inevitable for us to win them in tier 2 cities.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Sir, also if you could touch upon how much of growth comes in from new client additions versus expansion of an existing client or the recurring revenue from an existing client. Do we look at revenue from these two perspectives?
Yes, so I'll share this contextually. QX Global, as I mentioned, has been with us since 2018. Retention of our client is one of the primary metrics is for us. In my investor deck, if you see, we have bucketed them into three categories. Clients who are there consuming almost 100 seats with us, clients who are consuming between 100 to 300 seats, and clients who are consuming more than 300 seats with us. I have a staggering 57% continuation coming from 100 seats who are going to stay with us for more than 2 years. That's a lock-in period. Between 100 to 300 seats, I have clients who are going to stay with us for almost 3 years of tenure. And for more than 300 seats ka bucket, we have clients who are going to stay with us beyond 3 years ka lock-in. And these are lock-in durations that I'm saying. Agreement tenure is obviously at least 30% higher than that. Which means we have witnessed in the past that they're going to continue with us at least till the agreement tenure. They do get a right to exit after the lock-in period as well. But that right has not yet been exercised in our case. That is not the journey that we have seen yet. We are not seeing clients moving out of our facility. So, answering your question, categorically we have seen our existing clients contribute more in our growth story and contribute more to our revenue while we are kind of expanding rapidly. But having said that, 2022-2023 were an outlier for us, wherein a lot of external demand also had to be brought in by us because we were expanding at a pace of more than 50%.
Right, sir. So speaking of seats, what would be our current total capacity utilization in terms of occupancy of seats?
We are at 88% being occupied by us, by the client. So out of 13,500 seats, that translates into some 12,000 seats being consumed by the clients. But I think, to be very honest, from an industry parlance, I probably share this number because it is a metric that has been created within the industry. Honestly, that is not how I prefer to get monitored. The number of seats or the number of clients that are kind of continuing with us after the lock-in and the quantum of revenue that is going to stay with me for the next 3 years is the right metrics for me to get monitored or judged upon. Because in a managed office space, even while I was small, at 100,000 or 200,000 square feet of area, I was achieving more than 85%, 90% occupancy level. Because I'm technically designing the space for a bigger client. My speculative take-up is very less in nature. We work on a hedging sort of an environment wherein my lock-in from the supplier gets hedged by the lock-in from the client. My exposure of lock-in rental gets hedged from the exposure of revenue that I'm supposed to receive from the client.
Got it.
Did I miss it?
Fair enough, sir. No, that makes a lot of sense. And you also answered another question that I would have asked about the KPIs that we should look at, the key performance indicator.
Yeah.
So that is very helpful, sir. Just I'll conclude with a question. If you could have any long-term vision in terms of our revenues, maybe 2-3 years down the line, that's all, sir.
Well, I'm a newly listed promoter. I'm not sure how much I'm supposed to share here. But as I've given an outlook, in FY27, we are looking at the numbers of 350 crores being achieved across three revenue streams, largely managed office space contributing the larger number, then design and build becoming much more stronger, effective, and across the country. And our SaaS-based solution, which is a technology unit, wherein our recruitment, payroll, and customized solutions for our enterprise clients kicking in. These all three would be kind of contributing and helping us to achieve a revenue outlook of 350 crores by FY27.
Got it. Okay, sir. That was all from my side. Thank you. Thanks a lot for taking my questions and all the best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Anand Munda with My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, this might be slightly repetitive for you because my apologies, I joined the call late. But I just wanted to understand the economics of the development management model that you highlighted in the press release and the investor presentation with regards to the new 8 lakh square feet of deal that you won in Ahmedabad.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and I'll send a special thank you note. This will help all the people that are listening to get a much more clarity on development management model. It is a new model that has been kind of financially re-engineered by us. So I'll give you a background on this. We did a development management model, which is a PropCo-OpCo model as well for us, wherein right from the land stage, we partnered with the landowner. We told them that we want specs of this quality. We want a grade A plus asset, something what is easily available, accessible in tier 1 cities is not available in tier 2 cities. So for us, the entire gain that is being paid is on the supply side and not the demand side. Across the country, if you see, grade A plus assets enjoy north of 95% of occupancy level. Now, if this statement is true, tier 2 cities do not have a lot of grade A or A plus assets. And that is where we thought there's a larger vacuum that can be solved by it. So we started approaching landowners, told them that there are a lot of skill sets that we have achieved in the last 7 years, which we can share it with you. Skill sets like understanding what is the ratio on a single floor plate, what can be the column width, what are the common amenities or features that can be added in the building, and what are the specs on the electrical side? How does the fire design get built in so that it can attract Fortune 500 clients? No, not such pointers. There's a detailed questionnaire pointers that has been created for the landowner to get onboarded with us. Roughly around 190 odd points are being created by us as to how a supply is grade A or A plus. Now, we told them that we will bring in expertise on the architectural side, on the MEPS side, on the structural side, and on the PMC side. These are all four aspects of the development of the building, which we will cover it from our side. The contracting piece can be done by you. If you want, we can bring in an external partner as well. But that remains a decision to be taken going down the line. For doing this, the revenue that we will charge them is anywhere between 400 rupees to 600 rupees per square feet. So if I'm building, let's say 100,000 square feet of area, I charge them 100,000 rupees into on an average 500 rupees per square feet. That is the revenue that comes in my books. And the entire investment from a land stage is done by the landowner. The development investment is incurred by the landowner. That can be done in the form of equity or debt. That is the prerogative of the landowner. So that is how it helps us. A, it creates a strong pipeline of grade assets in tier 2 cities. B, it creates a stable source of revenue for us as well, when we are just capitalizing on our existing resources and skill set and experience that we have acquired. Did I kind of answer that question, sir?
Yeah, so is the operations also then once the building is developed, is the operations also managed by us? Do we put the entire unit on rent ourselves? How does, post the development, how does it work?
Yes. So, one of the primary aspects of signing a development management model is that we want to have the operational side of the business, because that is the core bread and butter for us. We wanted grade A supply to come in at the time at a micro market where we want, which was not coming in effectively, and hence this BM model will help us achieve that. So, operational agreement is mandatory. If that is true, if that selection is done by our research team, then only we go ahead and sign the BM model.
Okay. And then once it's the straight lease model that takes up. Like, do we pay a fixed rental every month?
Correct.
The normal contract?
Yeah.
That's correct. So at the development stage, there's an additional 400 to 600 square feet per square feet that we charge to the client for our expertise in designing the building. And post that, it's the normal straight lease model
That's right.
But here, the capex is done by the only difference is that the capex is being done carried on the books of the developer.
The landowner, yes.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
We are typically looking at landowners rather than developers, sir, because developers would preferably not get into agreement with us. Landowners are the ones who would prefer to get into arrangement with us, because those are the ones who would look at long-term rental revenues on an ongoing basis.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming on the call. We value and respect the time that you have given to understand our business. We look forward to your continued support going down the line. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Dave Accelerator Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.